country belongs to Jesus, amen. Too often we try to work it out and figure it out, but victory belongs to Jesus, amen. He just wants us to grow up in the word and just turn it over to him. Victory belongs to Jesus. That's one of those songs that we could continue on and on and on and on and on and on and on. Because we want to acknowledge Jesus. We recognize that we only get the victory through you. So let us pray. Our Father and our God, Lord, we thank you for Jesus. And we thank you that as we continue to grow in your word, we recognize, God, that our victory truly belongs to Jesus. Help us, Lord God, to grow up, to walk in your will, to walk in your word, to walk in your way. Help us, Lord Jesus, to stop trying to play church and look churchy for others. But help us, Lord Jesus, to be the word, to live the word, to shine, Lord God, wherever we go. Father God, we pray now that you forgive us because we do fall short of your glory, Lord God. We fall short, God, but you're a forgiving God and you're a faithful God, and we thank you, Lord God, for that. Now, God, have your way in this place. God, we've gathered here on this Family and Friends Day, God, and we want to lift up the family, Lord God, that you would bring us closer together, Lord God, and help us be more loving, God, and bring us into unity, Lord God. God, you created the family, Lord God, so let us walk in it with power and anointing. Now, God, if there be anything in me that's not like you, I ask that you strip it away right now in the name of Jesus. And God, if you give it to me, I will speak it based on the prompting of the Holy Ghost. So, Holy Spirit, have your way in this place. Move through this place and have your way and let your power, your anointing, your glory be felt throughout this building. Meet the needs of your people. It's in the name of Jesus that we do pray. Let the church say amen. Amen. Victory belongs to Jesus. I think that's the message in itself. Amen. We try so hard to do things our way. We mess it up every time. And yes, we'll ask the children, the youth, to be excused at this time for their message. Amen. I think Reverend Kimbrough is the teacher for today. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord God. Our scripture this morning is coming from the gospel. We're going to the gospel of John. The gospel of John. Chapter 13. We're going to John. John was a friend of Jesus. And this is Family and Friends Day. Amen. So let's just see what the Gospel of John will say to us this morning. Chapter 13, as we go down to verse 34. 34, a lot happens in this chapter, but the word for us today is coming from the Gospel according to John, chapter 13, starting with verse 34. And you are standing, so I'll assume that you're there. And I'm going to be reading from the NIV Bible. And I'm going to read two verses for your hearing. So if you're able, please stand as we reverence God's holy word. And it's read in the Bible, so Jesus has something to say to us this morning, you all. And this is what the word says in chapter 13 of John, starting with verse 34. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. You may be seated. You may be seated. Jesus is giving his followers a clear and basic message, one that many people struggle with. Therefore, since we are followers of Christ, the message from God to us this Sunday is that he wants us to be a church that would demonstrate the love of God, not a church that talk about love, but a church that demonstrates love. So the message this morning that I want you to take with you this week, deep down in your hearts and souls, is entitled, Love Makes the Difference. Love makes the difference. Love makes the difference. Church, God has allowed me to live many years, and I'm grateful. And through it all, I have come to realize that everyone, all of us, want to be loved. All of God's people want to be loved. Come on, am I right about it this morning? And without love, we often feel lonely, abandoned, depressed, and sometimes even unworthy. See, I want to just kind of walk through this because I can get excited and start shouting and get really excited about God, but I just want you to understand, does anybody really know what I'm talking about? The need for love in our lives. So many research dollars have been spent, and many studies have been completed to confirm what many of us already know, that humans need love and want love. Amen. So, church, I must admit that after last week, watching all the horrible things going on, the shootings in Las Vegas and the loss of life, and all the devastating storms and destroying lives over the last past week, I began to think about love and family relationships and just friendships. So as I watched on CNN, I saw many family members as they cried, describing their relationships with their loved ones and how their loved ones were taken without notice and all of a sudden, and they didn't have an opportunity to say goodbye. I watched them cry, and I have to admit, sometimes I cried along with them, you all. Because in times like these, I guess it caused us to begin to reevaluate our own relationships with the people that we say we love. So I suggest to you this morning, while you still have a chance, because see, tomorrow is not promised. that we began to spend more quality time and demonstrating the love that we have one for another. So as I began to just watch the people talk about their family and friends, and I began to think about just believers, how many of us have family members and friends that we really have not forgiven? Really? Come on, this may hurt, but this is going to be real. It's going to be tight. It's going to be right. How many of us have relationships that we know in our hearts we need to reconcile? See, too often we say tomorrow, I'll get to it tomorrow. But who promised you tomorrow? How many of us really walk around saying, I'm Christian, I love the Lord, but have these relationships that we say we just have unreconcilable differences, you call them. Oftentimes, we don't even remember why we're not even speaking to some of the people. All we know is we don't speak to them. But I love the Lord. But I love God. And often it's small stuff. Separating and dividing our families and people who we declare, yeah, I love you, but right now I can't talk to you. Holy Spirit, help me. See, we allow the enemy to set traps and games to divide our families. And sometimes we just declare, you know, I'm just a busy person. I don't have time right now to spend quality time. But once I finish this project I'm working on, this project, I'll call and tell them I love you. So after having conversations with God last week, he put in my heart to tell the people that love makes the difference. See, some of you know I talk a lot about love, and I don't see Brother Rudy this morning because I figured he would be winking with a bit me right about now. But they tell me I talk too much about love. I preach too much about love. I teach too much about love. But God is saying to the church, until my people are able to follow my command and love one another. Preacher, you keep on preaching. Preacher, you keep on teaching. Preacher, you keep on sharing. For the word says, I give you a new command. You love one another. Just as I have loved you, you should love one another. So, Holy Spirit, help me walk through this because I'm getting a little excited. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples because you love one another. God wants us abundant life to be the difference that makes the difference. So I have a question this morning for you. Just be careful. Don't look to your right or to your left because people will try to give you the answer. People be wondering what you're going to say, but ponder and reflect on this. Can people tell that I am a disciple of Christ based on my actions? Don't look at anybody else. Can people tell that I love the Lord based on what I do each and every day? See, everything starts with us. We have to put the mirror in our own faces. Too often we're looking to our right and to our left and try to instruct others how to love somebody. But God is saying to the church, and somebody may not get excited about this, but I know we need this for the church. God is saying, are you loving this morning, really? Are you? So John has written this word for us, the church, the people of God, the disciples of Christ. He wrote based on the inspiration of the Holy Spirit just for us. And as believers, we say that all scripture is inspired by God. The word is good for us to correct us, to help us walk into our purpose. The word is good to help us be proficient and equip us for service. So John wrote to us. So in this 13th chapter, it begins around the time Jesus is talking to his disciples. He's preparing to go on back to heaven. His work is finished here on earth, so he wants to teach them. He taught them by example. The Bible tells us in this chapter, he washed their feet. He told them, watch me. I'm giving you an example of true love. He wanted the disciples, and he wants us to know that love is not just an emotion, as much as it is an attitude. An attitude that results in action. In church, we say love is an action word. So in our morning text, as Jesus is preparing to go on back to heaven, knowing that he has the crucifixion before him, knowing he had to die, he wanted his disciples to get it right while he was still with them. He said, a new commandment I give to you. See, it wasn't new to love each other, but Jesus was talking about a new type of love. He was talking about a love that would cause you to love your enemies. He was talking about a kind of love that was revolutionary, that you love those when they were not treating you lovable. See, such love would draw unbelievers to Christ, but it would also keep believers strong and united in this hostile world. Jesus said, our Christ-like love will show that we are his disciples. So in my preparation time, I discovered that there was a Christian old folk song that they used to sing. They will know that we are Christians by our love. See, I don't know whether you've ever heard it. They will know that we are Christian by our love, not by the size of our building, not by the size of our budget, not by the number of persons that come on Sunday morning, but by our love. See, too often, church, and this is real, non-believers and even believers will highlight the petty biting in our church, the bickering, the fighting, the gossip. That's what they talk about. See, God is doing such good work in the church, but people tend to look for the negative. I just say it's the enemy. They're talking about jealousy. They're talking about gossip. But of course not an abundant life. I'm not talking about you all. However, we must be so careful that we do not fall in the traps of Satan, that we don't get in the bandwagon where we're talking about each other and not being loving. This is real, you all. This happens in the... So this morning, as we have family and friends here today, we want to just reflect. Are we loving each other? Are we treating each other with kindness? Really? Really? However, we have to be so careful that we actually follow this word if we're going to be in the will of God. James, the half-brother of Jesus, said this, not us, with the tongue we praise the Lord and Father. With it we curse men who are made in the likeness of God. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing, he said. He said, my brothers and my sisters, this should not be. This is not love. See, my husband said, whenever I get into the love and forgiveness sermons, people get very quiet. But God has said he requires this of the church. James' brother said, do not merely listen to the words and deceive yourselves, but do it. Do what Jesus said. And Jesus said, love one another. So the relevant question this morning, do we understand what Jesus was asking us to do? Do we really understand what Jesus was asking us to do when he said, love one another? Mm-hmm. We're going to walk through that thing, but by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples. See, Jesus knew that love would make the difference. Jesus knew, and God knew, we can't get this thing right on our own, but he sent us his word. See, there's power in this word when we follow this word, when we apply this word, and when we walk this word out. God knew what we would need, so Jesus said, love one another. So this is our instruction manual, the Bible. Our Creator created us, and he gave us a manual to follow. So let's go briefly and talk about this love thing. And then we're coming back to the relevant question now. But we want to be clear. When we say love, what are we talking about? See, there is different kinds of love. And most people, when they say, I love you, they're talking about eros. Eros is that kind of love that people announce when they find that right person. I love you. Amen. See, this type of love covers this little queasy feeling you get in the pit of your stomach. You know about it. This little fuzzy feeling, this sensual passion, eros. It usually occurs during the first stages of a man-woman relationship. Although eros at times makes us feel like we're on cloud nine, it cannot provide a reliable basis for building a deep and meaningful relationship, because eros is fickle. It depends on circumstances. Although eros is exhilarating, that is not what the Bible is talking about when Jesus say, love one another. Young people, eros will pass. Amen. So we move on to philia, or philos. We recognize this as brotherly love, Philadelphia. This is a kind of love. We have friendships, and we have best friends, and we're booing buddies. Not boo, but buddies. Don't be. Although philia is wonderful, yes, it is, to have a girlfriend, you have your, what y'all call it, your dude, your dog. Your bud. BFF, I'm told. But what does the brothers call it? And you have your brothers. type of love expects a return. It's based on a give-take relationship. Two people benefiting from their friendship. Unfortunately, we probably all know about friendships that ended because of distance, time, harsh words. So this is not the type of love that Jesus is talking about. Holy Spirit, help me walk through this because we need to get this right. This third type of love we're going to talk about is agape. The agape love is the unconditional love. A love that's totally selfless, where people give love to those that do not even return that love. See, somebody said, I can't do that. See, I've had people that I can't love like that. They don't love me. I don't have time. Really? I mean, these are the conversations that take place in the... See, whether eros, agape is returned or not, you continue to love. The love that God has for us. See, God's love is not subject to what we do. If it was, we'd all probably be dead and gone and buried in our grave. Amen? God does not love us based on what we do. So this morning, I'm going to take a little time, and we're going to focus on agape love in the family, agape love in the church, agape love in our communities, agape love just in the world for all people. It will make the difference, and that's why Jesus wants us to know love makes the difference. And that's why I tell y'all, love is the answer to it all. Just look at what's going on around you. Love will solve the problem. Love doesn't hurt. Love doesn't plot and plan against anybody. Too often we want those to love people to love us. And we have a problem really loving people when they're unloving. We want people to understand us. But we have a problem understanding people when they're going through. Can you love the unlovable? Really? People of God, this is what God is. Can you love people who are not treating you righteous? And if the church struggle with that. And that's what the world wants. The world wants us to act just like them. So you call yourself a Christian, do you? Come on, I'm being real about this. We are having a conversation. Because what I want you, when we walk out of here, we want to walk out of here a little different. First of all, we're going to apologize to everybody in our family that we know we've mistreated. And we're going to begin to talk to those people that have mistreated us. We're going to show them what real love looks like. We're going to show them what real loves look like. No matter how they behave, we're still going to be loving. Why is that a challenge, you all? Really, come on. I know that we ain't doing that. Good preacher, that's a good preaching word, but we ain't doing that. You don't know how they treat me on my job. You don't know what they said to me. You don't know what she called me. Yeah. You don't know what he did.
Yeah, right. Come on. You're preaching, right. Come on.
But can you love them despite them? That's where God wants us to get to a place where we're a light for him. We speak for him here on earth. See, suppose God treated us the way we behave. Come on, y'all, help me out. Somebody help me out. Somebody know what I'm talking about. Somebody knows what I'm talking about. See, this is difficult for me because I know people looking, okay, good message. I'm not doing that. Amen. God understands my heart. Oh, yes, he understands your heart, all right. If anybody understands you and know your heart, God knows your heart. But John C. wrote, we love because God first loved us. God loved us despite us. It was God's love truly is the greatest love of all. And you know, Whitney Houston say, learning to love yourself. No. The greatest love of all is what God has done for all of us. We got to get this thing right, you all. Oh, yeah. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord Jesus. I want to close this because people are looking at me. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, his sister. The Bible says he is a liar. That's the word. For anyone who does not love his brother and his sister, whom he's seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. I just want us to get this in our spirit. Remember, this is about agape love, and the truth be told, we can't do it on our own because we walk around in this flesh. Only because of the power of the Holy Spirit that we can love in this way. So you have to pray, God, help me be more loving. We sung that song in Bible study one day. God, help me to be a Christian. God, help me be more loving. See, there was a song back in the 60s. Yeah, I was back there then. It said, do you love me? Some of y'all know it. Now that I can dance, do you love me? I can mash potato. That was a dance back then. I can do the twist. Now tell me, baby, do you like it like this? Do you love me? See, that love was conditional. See, we don't want to go there. It was based on whether he could dance. She didn't want him if he couldn't dance. But that's not what God is talking about, you all. That's not what he's talking about. That's not it. But I would suggest to you.
Come on, Pastor. She got a word. Go again,
Doc. No, I was thinking about my sister. She would say something like this. If they don't love based on how I want, I'm going to keep on walking, keep it. I'm going to keep stepping. So I was just thinking about my oldest sister that's resting with the Lord now. Amen, amen. But that is not what God is talking about. That's not what God said. By grace, you have been saved through faith. That's not what we do. He loves us despite us. See, that's good news. As I begin to close, I want to say a few things to you. Mm-mm-mm. In order to truly love like Jesus is telling us, we must have a forgiving spirit, and this is the hard thing. We taught this in the church when we first opened about forgiveness. In order to have agape love, you must be willing to forgive. Now, too many and too often, we want people to forgive us. We want God to forgive us. But we don't want to forgive others. But that is a requirement. The Bible teaches us that if we forgive others their trespasses, that God will forgive us. It teaches us if we do not forgive others their trespasses, our Heavenly Father will not forgive us. So as we laugh here and we kind of ponder over this, this is real, you all. Too many families are divided. Too many family members are not speaking to each other because of unforgiveness. But let's say this day, it's going to start with me. I'm not going to be one of those people that decide that I can't love based on what people have done or said to me. The Apostle Paul put it like this, and this is the definition of love for us. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. Love is not proud. It is not rude. Love is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. We're talking about love here. Love does not keep a record of wrong. Like you say, I'll forgive you, but I won't forget you. That is not love. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in truth. This thing I do know about love. Love always protects. That's real love. Love always trusts. Love always hopes. Love always perseveres. Love never fails. That is a description of love for the church, for the people of God. So I say this to you all. You don't have to walk around and ask people, do you love me? Go to the word. Go to chapter 13. And remember, love is an action word. Don't worry about asking people, do you love me? I tell people, don't you tell me you love me. Show me you love me in the name of Jesus. So in chapter 13, as I began to wrap up, Jesus said, by this, all people will know that you are my disciples. Wherever you go, people of God, your light should be shining. Wherever you go, people should want to know more about your Jesus. Wherever you go, you should represent love and the love of God here on earth. So I just believe as a church, this is a great day, people of God, to recommit to loving one another. This is a great day, people of God, to ask the Holy Spirit, help me be more kind. Help me be more patient. Help me, Lord Jesus, because you can't do it on your own. People will hurt you. People will disappoint you. But you have to make a choice that I'm going to stand firm on this word. I'm not looking to the right or to the left. I'm going to love despite what they're doing to me. The apostle wrote this, if I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but have no love, I'm a noisy clown. If I have all prophetic power and understand all mysteries, if I have faith to move mountains, but have love, no love, I'm nothing. See, often we brag about what we can do, where we've been, what we can do, how we do it, how long we can do it. But you don't have love. You're nothing, the Bible says. It says if I keep giving my money to the poor, I give her everything I possess, I give my body, but I have no love for people, I'm still nothing. Come on, Holy Spirit, help us. God is saying, abundant life, I want you to be different. Abundant life, I've called you to greatness, but you have to represent me and demonstrate the love of Christ. You have to put your own feelings aside. Too often we operate on how we feel, and feelings are fickle. Lord Jesus is saying, Holy Spirit, help me. The greatest love of all. The Bible says we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But God demonstrated his love for us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. See, that's love. He died that we may have life and have it more abundantly. That's love, you all. The songwriter said, I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea, Jesus, heard my despairing cry. From the water lifted me. Now safe am I. The song goes, love lifted me. It was love that lifted me. Love lifted me. When nothing else would help, when nobody else could help, it was love that lifted me. God is saying to the church, it is love that will lift you up. Because of God's love, you all, chains are broken. Because of God's love, you all, people are set free. Because love makes the difference. Love heals. Love restores. Love builds up. Love encourages. Love empowers you all. Love protects. Love never fails. Love makes the difference. God is saying, represent me well, abundant life. I know you struggle with some things, but I can help you. I can make a way because I'm the way maker. But represent me well, abundant life. Yes, I know you got some stuff going on. People have hurt you. But represent me well. Love them despite them. He said, I will help you. I'm a present help in a time of trouble. I'm God. I'm your all in all. He said, love will lift you above what the world is saying and doing and what people are saying and doing. So I leave this thought with you this morning. Love will make the difference. Oh, yes, it will. Love will make the difference when nothing else will help. It is love. Watch people that are mean to you. If you show them love, they will change. But it's up to us. If we're going to be the light, it's up to us to be different. I tell the babies, little William told me they were teasing him in school. And I said, when they start to harass you and tease you in school, you don't have to act like them. You say, God bless you, and you keep on walking. That baby came back to me and said, Pastor, it worked. It confused the enemy. He didn't know what to think because I showed love. See, it's love that will make the difference. You don't have time to fight a war with the enemy. You have an assignment. So when the enemy gets crazy, God bless you. And you keep on walking. Don't you dialogue with the enemy. Don't you fuss and cuss because the enemy is fussing and cussing. We are called for something better. We are called to something greater, you all. So abundant life, love will make the difference. Just try it. Try it. Please stand all over this sanctuary.